almost anywhere to have a business. And people really do shop around.
If the job's coming back real strong, I'd move back to Florida in a heartbeat.
Listen, it's easier to move out of the city than it is to move in. And that's a problem.
Times are tough in Cleveland, but it wasn't always like this. In the 1950s, business was booming and the Indians and the Browns dominated. Those were the good old days.
When Cleveland was going, you had the Westinghouse building, you had Ever Ready Battery, you had a million print shops, you had a million people.
It used to be the sixth largest city in the United States, but that was back during the heyday of steel and a lot of things that were going right business-wise. All of that dried up in the 70s, and it's been a steady decline since then.
When the jobs left, the people followed. Today, Cleveland is the 41st largest city in the U.S. with a population of just 435,000. If Cleveland is to rebound, it needs to be the kind of place where businesses can flourish.
How would you define the city's business climate?
I would say the city's business climate is robust.
Michael D'Aloia has a different perspective. As Cleveland's tech czar during Mayor Jane Campbell's administration earlier this decade, his task was to convince high-tech firms to relocate to Cleveland.
Every time I would go out to a tech company, I can tell you the same exact conversation I would have. And the idea was like, hey, I want you to move into the city of Cleveland. And the response was, you have to be out of your f***ing mind.
Though he had no staff or budget, D'Aloia was able to offer companies affordable and funky office space in places like the Tyler Elevator Building. In 3 years, Michael managed to lure 37 high-tech firms to Cleveland. But that was only the first step. Part of Michael's job was to help these companies navigate the city's regulatory system.
What were the recurring obstacles to developing?
Well, a lot of it was in permitting and inspection. It was not a fleet-moving organization.
While Cuyahoga County has seen some growth in high-tech and medical fields, it's lost more than 100,000 manufacturing jobs in the past 10 years. When we asked Clevelanders why businesses weren't thriving, they gave us two reasons: taxes and red tape.
My only experience in running a city is SimCity, the computer game. I know when you raise taxes, all the Sims leave the city.
There are entire neighborhoods on the east side that are completely abandoned and empty, so the property tax that the city once enjoyed is gone. It lives on employment tax. You've got companies leaving en masse.
Cleveland's economic death spiral has coincided with a gradual increase in state and local taxes in the Buckeye State. In 1977, Ohio ranked 45th in the nation in terms of its tax burden. In 2008, it ranked 7th. Today, Cleveland seems to be more focused on tax revenue than it is on the overall business climate.
Whenever a new business comes in, the first thought is, how much tax revenue will that be? We talk about jobs too, and it's good for people to have jobs, but even then, we look at the employees that would come in for that business as expanding the tax base.
Clevelanders not only pay a lot of taxes, they also have to deal with an exceedingly complex tax system. In addition to federal and state income taxes, people in Northeast Ohio are burdened by local sales and property taxes, as well as city payroll taxes that average around 2%.
It is not the sort of simple tax system that encourages economic activity.
For people to say that the climate is anti-business, don't know the ward that I represent, and don't know the business people that I'm proud to take care of at the city.
But most of the people aren't saying that the people are anti-business, but mm-hmm. that City Hall throws up a lot of roadblocks that
Who's
are unnecessary. Various business owners we've talked to.
Can I ask you who?
Since so many of the disgruntled business owners we spoke to were afraid to appear on camera, we didn't give any names to Joe. But we did find a few brave souls who were willing to speak candidly about the red tape in Cleveland.
I think the city wants to work with you. I think some of the staff does not work as maybe expedient as the private sector would like things to move. So I call it architecture by persistence.
I had a time frame as to when I was going to start and when I was going to finish. Of course, that never works out the way you anticipate, but you also would hope that when you're ready to start demolition, that the city doesn't tell you, no, you have to wait for 3 more months for us to approve your plans.
This poor guy across the street from me went there to get a sign put up on his building. Put a sign on a brick building in an area that's now deserted. Well, who cares? He goes to the design review thing, and they want him to bring a drawing, bring another sign, try this sign. It's a sign.
In Cleveland, you can need a permit for a pool table, or if you want to have a DJ spin records in a restaurant on a Friday night. That's not the sort of environment that's welcoming to business and that's welcoming to entrepreneurship.
Any investment that comes in will end up going to a suburb anyway, because who wants to deal with these people?
This is the Board of Zoning Appeals, where many of the battles between business people and City Hall are fought.
This is beyond ridiculous.
In Cleveland, like many other older cities, the way you get things done is to lick the boots of the city's politicians in the hope that they'll champion your cause.
And really, my job is to be the needle and thread until we get it done.
Could you talk about a case where you helped a small business cut through red tape just so a businessman could get on with buying and selling stuff?
Morgan Linen is the only linen company left in the city of Cleveland. The neighbors agreed to this change in zoning so he could expand his parking lot to pull the cars off the street and he could actually hire more people. He not only had to navigate the city's building and housing department, mm-hmm. he also had to navigate the sewer department because of the irrigation. Mm-hmm. He had to navigate the county because of the taxation and the way they were billing, and he had to navigate how he was going to consolidate his lots so that the zoning would be in total and not just for one. He was trying to do this for the last decade, mm-hmm. and we got involved and were actually able to help him in about a year and a half.
There's got to be a better way. We went to Houston, a city without a state or local income tax, where we spoke to businessman Dan Bello about Houston's business climate. Bello is the chairman of the Greater Houston Partnership.
We have 29, I think, Fortune 500 companies headquartered here in Houston. But you know what? The majority of the employment base comes from small businesses, people who employ less than 100 people. And those are the people you really need to support. You need to make it easy for them to do business. You need to make it affordable from a tax point of view.
The assumption in Houston is you should be able to do what you want to do unless there's a really good reason why you shouldn't do it. In many cities, it's completely the opposite. You shouldn't be able to do anything unless you kiss X number of rings or X number of tuchuses, you know, depending how you want to put it.
Jordi Blanchet is the general manager of a brand new Beventura manufacturing plant in Houston.
Our company is producing mainly parts for the automotive sector. It's all turned parts. We have screw machines around 20 in Spain, and here we are planning to have like 3 or 4 the first year.
Jordi's Barcelona-based company could have set up shop anywhere in the U.S., including a traditional manufacturing town like Cleveland. But the company chose Houston.
Before coming here, we get a study made from the Chamber of Commerce of Barcelona, and they decided that Houston was a good area because they told us that it was very easy to just set up the company.
In fact, Jordi and his colleagues were able to complete all the paperwork to set up shop in Houston in a single afternoon.
So really, that's something that it shocked me because, in Spain, if you want to set up a company, you need almost like 5 months or 6 months. It's not that easy.
Why do 60,000 people move to Houston each year? They come for the opportunity and they stay because, if you believe publications like Forbes and Kiplinger, Houston is a great place to live, work, and play.
Why do we keep adding jobs? Why are you here talking to us? Something's working right.
So what can Cleveland learn from a city like Houston?
The best thing for a place like Cleveland to get business in there, and most of all, if they want international business to go there, they have to make things easier.
Cleveland's not going to attract people because of its beaches or because of its mild winters. It's going to attract people if this is a place where they can reap the returns on their investments and make a good life for themselves.
It's a bottom line thing for businesses. They want lower taxes and less red tape. Simple as that.